last Sunday, I preached a lesson, "What in Hell Do You Want?" And I had a handout to give you. I forgot to get a handout. The other day I came to the office to find the handout, but here the handout. It's a day late, but better than throwing them in the trash. Put them in your book. Thank you. All right. Open our Bible to the book of James today, chapter 2. That's where we are this morning. Y'all know what? It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. James chapter 2. Dealing with that royal law. In order for us, 1:12, to be blessed when we endure temptation. So when we do that, and we'll try it, we're going to receive the crown of life based on the promise to them that love the Lord. So in James 2:14, partiality, we're still dealing with that. God is no respecter of person. We're all equal in his eyesight. We're heirs of God and we're joint heirs of Jesus Christ. James 2:14 asked a very important question. When he said, "What does it profit, my brethren?" You know, when I see that word brethren, you know what I like you to do, don't you? Right, 27 there. It signifies 27 books of the New Testament, especially the 21, the 4:1, 21:1, to make the 27, the 39, in relationship to the first four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Tell us what we must believe in. Mark 16:16. 1, get in the church and get saved. And 21, stay saved. Amen. And Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death. You know, when you're studying with people and talking with people, they love to go past the book of Acts. Well, you can't go past the book of Acts till number one, you understand Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So if you don't believe and be baptized to be saved, well, the next 21 ain't no good to you. Amen. So I like you just to write that when you see that word brethren. That can signify who we are, amen. That heaven's a prepared place for prepared people. I know sometimes you may take that for granted or you may say I'm being repetitious. But guess what, y'all? It's good to be saved, amen. And I don't take it for granted, amen. Amen. Relationship to being a brethren, amen. Not only a brethren, but a faithful brethren. You know, I text a lot to the brethren, Brother Blair, and I always use the phrase faithful brethren. My brother asked one time, "Well, why I'm not on it?" I said, "Well, maybe you're not faithful." It's the faithful brethren, amen. And that's who our text too. So he says here, "What does it profit, my brethren, do a man say he has faith?" Hebrews 11:1. I like to use that word substance. Substance. That faith that motivates you to have works. See, verse 17. "And has not works can save faith save him. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be warm and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needed to the body, what does it profit?" Then the answer to verse 17. Even so faith, see, if it has not works, it's dead. Being alone. Well, number one, if you got substance, that is the 21 books that we're talking about, amen. 1 Corinthians 6:19, know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Well, that faith gonna motivate you to do what? The right thing. That a brother come to you. You know, I tell us all the time, we are our own social security, amen. See, Galatians 6:10 is an individual thing. Do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. That is, it's our responsibility, you know, to take care of one another. Amen. That's what faith would make you do. Say, take care of one another. Because we in the church are supposed to hurt when we are part of the church. Amen. Because the church going to take care of one another. Amen. In relationship, if we got faith. Now, I'm talking about true faith. And that's the reason why the 27 books are so important. Of 1 Corinthians 6:19, know you're not. That your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. The more you study the God's word, and the more you get inside you, Well, outside gonna reflect works because faith gonna produce good works. Amen. See, a relationship to understand. You know, that's a hard thing to understand, how the word of God work, or how faith work, or how substance work in relationship. Because sometimes you hear people say, well, I don't know why they act that way. Well, I know why they act that way. They ain't got no faith. They full of the devil. Amen. Because you can't act but two ways, either right or wrong. There's no such thing as half right, half wrong. Right? Because see, you're fitting the law at one point, you give the what? You give up the whole law. So it can't be half right. Sometimes people say, well, brother, I'm 85% good. Well, that ain't good enough. See, you shouldn't be 85% right. Because when you go to James 4:7, when you submit, resist, and draw, see, then you're going to humble yourself, and then he's going to exalt you in the sight of the Lord. So that word faith is a strong faith, but it got to be the faith. The one faith, as Ephesians 4:3 says, to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Because I'm telling you, brethren, if we got the right faith, that is because we study to show ourselves approved. Not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday night, but we do it every day, 365 days a year. Sometimes two or three times a day. It depends. I don't know. It just depends on what spiritual level you are on. But once you get that, that faith within you gonna make works come out. Amen. Because, like he said here, if you see a brother hungry or you see a brother destitute, you're gonna do the right thing. Because that's what Christians do. Amen. That's the word in you that's gonna make you do the right thing. Now, the contrary is if when you don't. Now you can know, you can be tried and you can be tested to know. See what kind of faith you got. See, based on the way we live, based on our action. See, based on our works. See, in relationship. See, the Bible is not a book to hurt us, it's to help us. If we apply it the right way. See, when you take, if you take all the churches in Birmingham and they all, and we all was going by the same faith, you would never need the Red Cross. You'd never need all these charitable institutions because brethren would take care of one another. Amen. Amen. If you knew I was hungry, it would be no need for you to leave here and go somewhere else to get some food because we are, as Christians, going to take care of one another. Amen. Am I right? Now, if you didn't have no money to get gas and you just were having a difficult time, there wouldn't be no need for you to say, well, I got to go down to the other church where the other faith is to get it done. Now, let me clear that up because, see, the Bible do talks about you have a responsibility to WRK. See, number one, if you just lazy, if you just slothful, it's a sin to be slothful. It's a sin to be lazy. See, 1 Timothy 5:8 talks about a man don't take care of his own. He denied the faith. He's worse than what? That's a responsibility that we all have to take care of our family. I tell us all the time. We look at the works of the church of Ephesians 4:12 and look at benevolence. Well, benevolence should be the last thing from the church. And the reason why I say that, because number one, you have family responsibility. Then you have brotherly responsibility. And when you exalted all that, then the church will be the last resource that we go through. Because number one, I got a family. I got children. They call themselves Christians, right? And they're supposed to have faith, am I right? So number one, they're supposed to take care of me if they're able to or do what they can do. Then when that don't work, then I got all you brethren who you say you love me, amen? Amen? And you're supposed to have faith, amen? That substance, that's those 21 books, amen, within that. So therefore, when I'm destitute or when I'm without food or whatever the situation may be, it's the church's responsibility, it's Christian responsibility if you got good faith. And I said, if you got good faith. If you then be risen with Christ. See, seek those things which are above. And guess what, brethren? That's the transformation that we got to believe. That's what we got to think. See, that's the work of the church. See, in relationship to understanding how the church is to be run and what he's talking about here. And then there's no partiality, no cliques in the church. We're all equal in God's eyesight. Amen. You do one, you do one, you do the other. Amen. See, make no difference who you may be, black, white, red, make no difference who you may be. See, the Bible is equal, equality. See, God is no respecter of person. We are equal in the eyesight of God. And that's what we should understand. see a relationship to understanding what is the will of God. So verse 17 again, I like to read that. If you're there, even so faith, right, Hebrews 11:1, because that's the definition, is the substance of things hoped for. What substance? That is the 66 books. I didn't just say 27, I say 66, 39, 27. It's the whole Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture. It didn't say the New Testament is given by the inspiration of God. So the man of God may be thoroughly furnished to all good works. Amen? See, and so when you understand what faith is, amen, and understand the 39 and 27, and can say 5:12, 5:17, that is 4:4:1, 21:1, the reason why I'm saying that, I'm not just telling you, well, those are good numbers. Well, anyway, I'm just not telling you just to quote numbers, but you understand the concept of how the Bible works. Amen. See, when you understand the Old Testament, see the Pentateuch, see the history, the poetry, the books of prophecy, and then you can open your Bible and know how it works, then that will work. Romans 15:4 is, whatsoever things are in the foretime written for our learning. See, now you're learning, amen. So that faith can work, so faith just won't be alone. And then it got to be the right faith. We talked about that last week, didn't we? Hebrews 4:1. There's only one faith, one Lord, one baptism, right? See, that's not a multiplicity of faith. See, it's not that. It's the faith, the book. This is the faith right here. It's not a multiplicity of faith. If we all follow the faith, we all will be what? One. See, it wouldn't be no division. We all speak the same thing and be of the same mind. So verse 18 says, yea, a man may say. Now listen to what the Holy Spirit say. He may say. Now that's talk. See, not only do we talk, but we got action, amen, to back that talk up with, amen. See, yea, a man may say that has faith and have works. Show me thy faith. Look what he said. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. So you can't show your faith without works. You have to show faith with works. And what Christian living, and what being the light. See, that what being the written epistles, written and read in the heart of all men. Because guess what? The only way people are going to see Jesus is by the life that we live. People are not going to see Jesus no other way but by the faith. By the works, by the life we live, when we live here. See, you come here to sharpen your faith. See, you come here to grow in the grace and knowledge. You're not here to be entertained. And like I told you the other day, any Sunday where you come to church and you're not spiritually edified, something is wrong. If you can't come and be just a little bit better, if you didn't get nothing from what you was here for, well, something is wrong. Because, see, you'll never get this hour again. You'll never get this day again. Once we lose this Lord's Day, you can't get it no more. Now, John can put it on the website, but, brother, it ain't nothing like seeing Brother Lyles in person. And I'm not trying to put nothing to make me no better than what I am. Some of you may say you might not want to see Brother Lyles in person. But the point that I'm saying that we got to understand, see, you got to have faith, and faith got to be bad with works. See, you just show me your faith without works. See, you can't show faith without works. It got to be backed up by works. That's what Christian living is all about. Can you imagine what it would be that if every Christian had faith and backed it up with works? Can you imagine how big this church would be? Can you imagine how strong this church would be? Can you imagine how big and light we would be to this community just for us alone? Just for us alone. Man, we'll speak the same thing. We'll be of the same mind. We'll love more. You'll be better husband. You'll be better wife. We'll just be better all over. Well, we can. We can't all have the same faith. God is no respecter person. He's not going to get Terry no more than he give me. Amen. And like I tell you all the time, my prayer is no more powerful than your prayer. A lot of times people say, well, I better call Brother Lyles. He needs to pray for the sick. You better call everybody. Amen. Because just not my prayer, but the fervent prayer of the righteous. Avail as much. Amen. I just don't want the preacher praying for me. I want the whole church to be praying for me. Amen. Because we're supposed to have the same what? Same works. Amen. See, in relationship. Not faith without works, but faith with works. And that's what he's saying here. Show me. You can't show it. You can't show it. Because look what happened when, look what happened to people who don't have no faith. You see it in the world today. Paul talked about that in Romans 16, 17. Smooth speeches? Fast speeches? They deceive the hearts of the what? Simple. Why are they being deceived? Because they don't have no faith. They can't discern between right and wrong. See, we're supposed to grow to that spiritual level. Remember Hebrews 5 when they ought to have been teachers? But they needed to be taught again the first principles, the first oracles of the Word of God. Why? Because they just didn't treasure faith. Faith is more important than your bank account. Because that faith is going to give you that peace of mind to realize everything going to be all right. In spite of. Because it's nothing but mindset. Of Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in us which was in Christ Jesus. To realize, regardless of what happened, everything going to be all right. See, we measure. We don't look at it that way. We measure on external things. Tangible things. See, we measure. We look at success as to what we see. See, but I'd rather have that spiritual insight, that spiritual mindset, to be transforming all the time. See, you transform it all the time. All day we breathing, you're just getting better and better and better. So that's the reason why I like to hear Ham say, "Be blessed." He always ends his emails, "Be blessed." See, I read that. See, and I read that. I like when I text John, say, "Amen." Now, he just say one word. But that one word means so much powerful to me. Because when he say that, or when you say, "Be blessed," you just reaffirming what I already know. You just giving me that comfort to know. What Paul is saying in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, but it's the power. What it does, it develops faith. Amen. It develops faith so it may cause me, and I could be at my deepest point. And we all get to our deepest point sometime in life. But when I hear my iPad go off, I hear my phone go off, bing, 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 bing. Man told me the other day in a meeting, he says, "Cut that phone off." And I looked at him, I said, "If you could take this phone, you would, wouldn't you?" He said, "I would." And I caught myself. Because, see, I was getting ready to play in the hands of the devil. And after the meeting was over, I went up to him and I apologized to him. And I said I was sorry. You know? See, because I got caught up. Sometimes we do, don't we? In life. See? But in making that realization, I realized that I won't do it no more. Because it's just life. Amen. So faith is a strong instrument in relationship, the way you're saying here. When you say, "Yeah, a man may say, thou hast faith." And people say that all the time. People say how much they love the Lord all the time. People say, they say how much they love Jesus all the time. People say, "I know what Jesus have done for me. I got him in my heart." Don't people say it all the time? "Thou hast faith and have works, show me thy faith without thy works." See, you can't have faith without. You got to have faith plus works. See, "And I will show thee my faith by my work." Then verse 19, he said, "Thou believest that thou is one God." Right, 1 John 5:8 or 5:7. "Thou believest well." Amen. That's a good thing to believe in. But he said, "The devil," and I got that word underlined, highlighted, big as I can, "also believeth," and he trembled. Well, why did he tremble? He trembled because that belief wasn't strong enough to motivate works to make him obey the word of God. You with me? See, it's like sin, 1 John 3:4. Sin is transgression against the law. James 4:17, "To him who knoweth to do good and do it not, to him is a sin." Hebrews 10:26, If we sin willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there remains a more sacrifice for sin. Sometimes we are tested by sin to the point that we can't make a decision whether to stop it or whether to continue on. We can't be like Jesus and say, it is written. Because our faith is not strong enough to overcome the darkness in our life. You say, well, that ain't never happened to me. Well, you a lie. But the Bible says you a lie and the truth is not in you. Because we all have sinned, amen. And fallen short of the glory of God. We all have made bad decisions, haven't we? In our life. To the point, we knew what we were doing was right, but we did it in Ohio, amen. But why did we do it? We did it because faith didn't kick in. Go back to James 1:12. So you go back to James 1:12, this is what he says. He said, we are blessed when we endure. See? Temptation. Then, he said, for when he is tried or when he is proven. See, when sin comes, we are tried, and all what we're going to overcome when we endure it. When we don't sin. Amen. That when you know faith is working. Like I tell you, see, sometimes sin in our life, you never get rid of sin, you just control it. It's going to be there. It's going to be there. If you ever smoke, I mean, you might not never get that taste out your mouth. But you may stop. But you control it. You just control it. But that don't mean that you never desire a cigarette, or you may not never want a cigarette. Amen. See, that's just life. See, I haven't had a drink of whiskey in 40 years. But that don't mean when I walk through Winn-Dixie at my deepest point, and I look over and I look at that beer cave, and boy, it'd be so frosty. You ain't never seen them. Huh? And then you have a tendency sometimes to walk over there, and the dew be dripping off the cans. But see, if faith don't kick in, now y'all looking at me mighty funny. Now, it might not have been beer. It might not have been beer that you saw dripping. But it's something that beset us that we need to realize that God's grace is sufficient. Amen? Because we're going to be tried. We're going to be tested. Amen? That's why we got faith. That's why we know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So that when we are tempted, we don't do as the devil. To the devil, he has some belief, but that belief didn't kick in. See, it's like how our grandpa Acts 26. What did he say? Almost died. Persuaded me. See, to be a Christian. See, we is tried. See, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord had promised to them that love him. So, back to James 2. See, your faith got to be strong enough that when sin comes, you're going to be able to say, it is written. But it got to be within the mindset of that understanding, see, when the devil do come. But look at verse 20. He said, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is what? Now look what the Holy Spirit is using this here. He used the word no. That's understanding, right? See, then he used the word vain. Because, see, it's useless. See, it's useless to be a Christian. See, you can't worship God in spirit and truth if you got faith that's not backed up with works. That's vain. It's useless. That's the seriousness of the matter. Amen. See, something wrong with your knowledge. See, you don't have the understanding to know what is the will of the Lord, that is to believe. Now, you can believe, but tremble that you won't make a decision. See, that would call it vain. And vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine and commandments of men. Why? Because they got faith without works. Y'all see the three words there? See, the knowledge is not strong enough, right? To cause it to be useless. Why? Because you got dead works. And that's anything in life. You lose everything. You can't let your light shine. You can't be those written epistles. You can't worship God in spirit and in truth. So because your knowledge been fragmented. See, and the only thing that can be fragmented with is sin. To block the seed from penetrating
But the word of God don't work. Because really, before I go to Terry, that's the only thing that stops us from maturing, from perfecting, from growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. It's called sin. The seed can't penetrate. Right? Or you don't study. Some of you hadn't picked up your Bible since last Sunday. Some hadn't picked it up since last Wednesday. Amen. See? What you put in is what you get out. So your knowledge is fragmented. See? You're not utilizing it. You're not utilizing it. See? It's like driving a car. See, you remember when you first started driving? Had both hands on the steering wheel, didn't you? Boy, were you careful. You remember that? You know? See? Now you all can drive with your knees. And how? Or with one finger. Huh? Some of you young schoolers don't know what I'm talking about. When we used to drive, we used to call it playing. John laughed because he know what I'm talking about. That means you're so far down that nobody can't see you. Go ahead, Terry. Yes. Yes. Uh-huh. Right.
That's right. You understand? But go ahead. Right. That's right. But see, you're right. But see, I'm not saying I desire it, because I don't. See, I don't desire. I don't desire, I don't want it. See, because I've been there and done that. See, that's what grace does. See, grace brings you from one point to another point, and you made a good point. See, the lust after it, number one, see, that's different. It's not a lust after that. It's just realizing what your shortcomings is so you can be able to control it. And to be grateful. And that's the key point. To be grateful that the Lord had brought you from point A to point B. See, not that you lust after it, because I don't have that desire no more. See, I tell my wife all the time, I'm glad that I don't have those problems no more. See, I'm glad I'm not like I used to be. Because, see, I don't have that no more. See, that's not a part of my life. I don't want that no more. See, I don't have the desire. I'll give you a good example. See, when I was a maybe just coming into church, I had to come ye out from among them. I couldn't go around my cousins. I had to cut those things loose. I hadn't grown big enough to be around them to stop doing what they were doing. But because of the spiritual growth in your life, because of the faith that developed in your life. See, you making go of the family functions around them, and they may be doing those things, but you don't have no desire to want to do them. See, and that's the point. You see, that's what I'm saying. And I'm glad you brought that up for clarification. Is that you don't lust. Because see, when you lust after it, see, you must still have a problem there. See, not that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that it's just that you realize that, look here. I remember one time that I would have went in there. But now, thank God, I'm over that. See, that's what that faith would do. That's what that mindset, that knowledge would do to allow you to have reached that plateau in your spirituality. See, and the only way you're going to get that, brother, you just got to be faithful. You just got to develop that faith, and you got to grow in that faith. Now, it's going to be time when you stumble. Amen. See, it's impossible to be in custom for 40 years and get baptized and stop. It takes time. Amen. See, to be able to what? Develop the right type of talk. See, because those words are always going to be there. They're going to be there. Amen. See, but you learn to develop, to grow above that, to mature, to perfect, that when you're tried, you won't endure. And I'm glad you brought that out. And that's a good point. Because it may have made it sound like that desire was there. Oh, no. I don't desire that. And I even have learned to even in my goal to want to lose weight, to not to want certain foods no more. Amen. My wife said, I'm sick of you in that diet. She told me yesterday. I'm sick of you. You ain't the only somebody in this house on a diet. Because since she be fixing dinner, certain things, I said, I don't want that. I mean, I'm not going to eat that. Because see, my mindset is that I know what I got to do in order to develop my goal to lose weight. A little bit off the lesson, but I went walking Thursday, Friday with Quint. And I've been walking for the past 3 or 4 weeks. As a matter of fact, John, I got my badge the other day for 50 miles. I got a program on my phone, and I got my little walking thing on, and it emailed me like this, congratulations, you walked 50 miles. Yeah, walked 50 miles. So I went walking with him, but I never walked maybe no far every day, no more than 2 miles. Sometimes I did 3. So I went to walking with this guy, and he comes here. And I said, where are we going? He said, well, we're going to walk down to Arkadelphia. I said, okay, great. I can do that. So we got to Arkadelphia, and I got ready to turn around. He said, oh, no, let's go down a couple more blocks. I said, okay, I can do that. I went down a couple more blocks. Then he made a left. Then he went all the way up to 8th Avenue to Legion Field. And by that time, my knees were buckling. And I began to think, I said, well, maybe I might need to call Dyer to come pick me up, take me back to my truck. And then he went all back down to Arkadelphia. He said, you all right? And the old macho in me, yeah, I'm all right. And by that time, I was breathing hard, boy. It was difficult, you know. But finally, he went on back, and we finally made it back after an hour and a half of walking. And when I got back to where my truck at his house was parked, I fell in a chair. I really did. I fell in a chair and looked at my little machine here, where it's called, and we had walked 6 miles. So finally, he said, you all right? You want some water? No, I want to go home. That's all I kept saying. I want to go home. I want to go home. So I finally made it in the truck. I let every window down because I need the air. And got home. And I said I was going to come over to the church around 2 o'clock and do some work. I wasn't no more good the rest of the day. I didn't move. I didn't go nowhere. And he had near the audacity to call by 4 o'clock. You all right? No pain, no gain. Now that's wrong faith. The next Saturday, I did some walking yesterday, and I laughed, but I ain't walked no 6 miles. I walked about 2 yesterday. But, because see, I hadn't developed that point. You understand what I'm saying? I hadn't got that. That's the point I'm saying. I hadn't matured to that point. I hadn't perfected that point. I wasn't in that level. See, he may have been used to walking. I don't know. He may have walked all the time. He may have reached that plateau. It was all right with him. And that's where spirituality is, a relationship. See, when you get to that point, see, where your belief system is to the point that you know when the Bible says, come ye out from among them, be ye separate, avoid all appearance of evil, and do all the things that we need to do. See, at that point, you don't lust. That's what you're saying. See, because you don't have that. You don't have it no more. It's gone. See, now you may know it there, but you just got it under control, but you don't lust that. And that's the point that you said. And I'm glad you brought that out. Thank you so much. And y'all understand what we're saying? And that's what the growing process is. Okay? So, verse 20 again. He says, but without no, see, vain man, that faith without works is dead. See, that is 3 words. That your knowledge to the point whereby by your works, by your faith, is not motivating your works to cause everything that you do to be what? In vain. See, it can be useless. See, and that's everything in life. See, not just worship, that's just everything in life. See, you ain't got no faith. You are dead, amen. You useless. You're in darkness, amen. See, and that's a sad part that you don't want to get into. See, and you know what? That's the good thing that is to be a Christian, amen. A faithful Christian, amen. That you know your works is not a vain work, not a dead work. Then it goes on about Abraham. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works? When he offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? See, not only did he have faith, but he was justified by works. Why? Because he did what God told him to do. Right? So what happened when we got the Royal Law of Liberty, right? And we got the 66 books, and we got the faith, and when we don't comply to what God tells us to do, why are we justified? No. No. Seeing that our faith wrought with his works. And by works was faith made what? See, by his works, based on what he did, what happened? He matured. You get better and you get better. So that's what faith does. See, when you leave here through self-examination, you should be getting better and better. You don't leave the same way you came. If you came for the right reason. Amen. So I can understand when people sit there and tell me and Blair, well, you did all right, but you preached too long. How can you be all right, but something was wrong? You understand what I'm saying? So I got a problem when brothering say, well, y'all song leader messed up 3 times. So I got a problem when a brothering say, well, he prayed too long. Or he read too many verses. So I got a problem with that because something wrong with your faith. Because how can you if you're here for the right reason? See, if you understand what worship is, John 4:24, how can you say that? Because good faith, look what he says here, gonna cause you to mature, gonna cause you to appreciate. See, I couldn't wait to get here this morning. See, I told my wife, I said, guess what? Brother Black gonna be here's a possibility. Because I knew they was coming. They haven't been bragging about it for 2 weeks. My brother's coming. Deborah, she retired. We are coming. And I told my wife, I said, Brother Black, and I'm looking forward to seeing them. Amen. Amen. See? Because see, that's what faith does. See, it will cause you to mature. It will cause you to get better and better and better. But when you use the negative side of it, amen, or when your faith ain't strong enough and you throw negativity in, it's going to kill your faith. Right? Because, see, when you get home, somebody's going to call you. How you like worship? Well, it's all right. Well, didn't he preach too long? Well, I don't know. I just don't know. You laughing, but people call one another to destroy faith. See, you know why? Because, see, their faith is not strong enough to be able to endure because based on their knowledge, what they do is useless. Right? So if your faith is justified and it's right, it's going to cause you to mature. You remember I told you a few minutes ago that when you leave here, even when you get through a Bible class, don't just sit there and say, man, that was a good class, when it was. Because it don't matter. You know why it don't matter? Because the Lord knows I'm doing the best I can. Amen. Now, it's for you. Amen. It's for you. Now, how you receive and how you accept it, that depends on you. The only thing I'm doing is preaching the word in season, in out of season. Amen. And like I tell you all the time, don't never judge how well it sounds. Judge based on what he says. See, sometimes we say, boy, he can preach. But he's a good orator. But he can be just as wrong. You mentioned Charles Stanley, didn't you? See, in Atlanta. See, I wonder how many people sit there and heard that on TV in that big church in Atlanta believe what he said to be true. But see, look how many people he misled. Because they just didn't have no faith to know. So what they hear was in vain, and then not well, only in vain, but it was in vain, you don't mature and you don't grow. See, and that's the sad thing that happens when we don't understand what faith is. So let me read it one more time. It says, see thou how faith wrought with his works of Abraham, and by works was faith made perfect, and the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God and was imputed on him for righteousness, for he was called the friend of God. Now watch this here. And look what he's saying here. Go back and look at Abraham, verse 21, 22, and 23. Abraham what? Was justified by works. When he did what God told him to do by offering his own son Isaac on the altar, right? And because of his faith, because he obeyed God, see, faith brought about his work and what it did. It made him what? Perfect. Right? And because he was perfect, not only was he perfect, but he was righteous, and because he was righteous, and because he was perfect, and because he obeyed God, what happened? He became a friend of God. Y'all see that? That didn't come about because his faith was in vain. It didn't come about because he had faith without works. It came about because he was justified by faith with his works. That he became a friend of God. So if you're not a friend of God, what's the only conclusion that you are? Enemy. That is, when your faith is not strong enough to cause you to obey him, right? That brings about righteousness, that brings about perfection, that calls you to be a friend of God. See, let me tell you something, brother. I want you to listen to me. See, when the Bible says, come ye out from among them, be ye separate, says the Lord. See, don't be partakers of their evil deeds. When the Bible tells you to avoid all appearances of evil, see, when the Bible tells us all these things, he tells us that for a reason. Because anytime we get entangled with people who are not a friend of God, number one, you're not going to perfect. Because you can't take wrong and make it right. Right? You can't be wrong and make it right. You can't be around wrong and make it right. You can't do it. You got to come ye out from among them. That's what faith's supposed to do. Why do you think the Holy Spirit used that example about Abraham? See, he was justified to perfect. See, he was imputed unto righteousness. See, in order for him to be a friend of God. If he had to do it to be a friend, don't you think me and you would have to do it too? Amen. See, that's the reason why nobody should never leave a church on doctrinal errors. Never. Because can't both people be right? Then, if you leave because somebody else is wrong, then you go somewhere else, amen, well, either they're going to be wrong or they're going to be right. You with me? See, you don't do that. You just don't do that. Now, let me clear it up. Now, if you have went to them over and over and over and over again to get them to stop doing what they're doing, and they won't do it. If you try to get them to understand truth, righteousness, and they won't do it, you don't have no choice. But just don't leave. He said, well, y'all just do what you want to do without trying to correct them, and according to Matthew 18. Right? So you find fault with your brother, go to him or what? You're what? Gain your brother. I mean, I make mistakes all the time. I mean, you're not my friend when you don't correct me. Amen. Am I right? See, and that's the point that I'm saying here. So look at that one more time, right quick. That is, faith justified Abraham by works. Right? That made him perfect, right? See, if you got your Bible, man, you need to underline that. See, perfection, righteousness, friend of God. See, you want to be a friend of God? That's what you got to do. But when you disobey God, or you believe like the devil and tremble, brother, you ain't a friend of God. Amen? And that way he says? Look at verse 24 right quick. He said, you see then how that by works a man is justified, and there you go again, and not by faith only. See? Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. But the body without the spirit is what? Dead. So faith without works is dead also. Right? See, you got to have both. That word spirit is the attitude, how we receive the word. See, you got to receive it in the right spirit. Of John 4:24, God is the spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit. See, how's your spirit this morning when you got up in here? See, how your spirit going to be? Hope you don't be long today. I got something to do. That's the wrong spirit. Amen. See. You're already in vain because your knowledge is not right. Amen. And that's the point that we need to see. All right, any more questions before we move on to chapter 3 next week?